The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
I what makes me feel valued is when I feel a need and when I'm given, I just like to be needed personally and professionally. I like to be needed. I like to be depended on. And
does this mean when someone comes in and says, wow, thank you for having accomplished this?
Yeah, that feels great.
Welcome to the Repurpose Your Career podcast, brought to you by Career Pivot. This podcast is where those of us in the second half of life come together to discuss how to repurpose our careers for the 21st century. Come listen to career experts give you proven strategies. Listen to people like you tell their stories on how they repurpose their careers. And finally, get your questions answered. Your host, Mark Miller, has made six career pivots over the last 30 years. He understands this is not about jumping out of the frying pan into a fire, but rather to create a plan where you make clear, actionable steps or pivots to a better future career. Are you ready to repurpose your career?
Welcome to episode 98 of the Repurpose Your Career podcast. My name is Mark Miller, and I'll be your host every Monday for a discussion on what it's like to repurpose your career. If you are enjoying this podcast, please share it with other like-minded souls. Subscribe on careerpivot.com's iTunes or any of the other apps that supply podcasts. This includes Google Podcasts, Podbeam, Overcast, TuneIn, Spotify, and Stitcher. Share it on social media or just tell your friends, neighbors, and colleagues. I want to thank everyone who has rated or reviewed the show on iTunes. We are now up to 25 ratings and 17 customer reviews. Six of those have been the last couple of months. If you feel so inclined to write a review, I would be most appreciative. We are rapidly approaching episode 100. I am thinking of interviewing my wife, Lotus Miller, about her experiences around our move to Mexico for episode 100. My wife is not a recovering engineer, but a former registered nurse and massage therapist. So she has a very different perspective than I do. Next week, I will have a special episode, which is the audio from the webinar that Gene Yocum presented to the Career Pivot membership community called Pricing Your Services, How to Get It Right. Some of our community members are becoming freelancers and consultants, and setting prices is one of the more difficult things to get right. Gene was on the podcast previously in episode 89 when she talked about her book, The Self-Employment Survival Guide. This will give you a taste of what is available in the Career Pivot membership community. Last week in episode 97, I aired part 3 of the Can Sarah Repurpose Her Career series. This week, it is the 4th in the series, and if you have not listened to episodes 93, 94, and 97, I suggest you go back and listen to them now. You will find all the reports for this episode at careerpivot.com/Sarah. I spell Sarah S-A-R-A, but everyone else on the team spells it S-A-R-H. Both spellings will work. Just go to careerpivot.com/Sarah and spell it however you want. I hope you enjoy this episode. Well, welcome back, Sarah. And you've done your homework.
I have.
So how do you think? How do you make decisions?
I am a very thoughtful person. And I value weighing the pros and the cons of a situation and a decision. I think I have a pretty healthy balance between my intellect and my heart. So I know when, well, let's say I feel comfortable thinking with both my head and my heart. And I feel confident in the intellect that I have to think through problems and situations. I also feel confident in listening to my intuition. So depending on the situation and the problem at hand, I would have to say that I've got my head and my heart involved.
You mentioned your homework, which, by the way, I'm looking up right now. You made an interesting comment. You're a results-oriented decision maker. You said you had said that a boss told you that, let's see, I'm definitely motivated by problems that have a set element of urgency. I once had a boss who described me as a results-oriented in my performance appraisal.
Right.
How did that play out when you were doing the homework?
Well, I remember when that manager made that comment to me, and I found it odd because I thought to myself, well, how can an employee not be results-oriented? Isn't that what we're supposed to do every day? We show up for work, we do our jobs, and we're expected to deliver results, like tangible results. Shouldn't everyone strive for that? So I've learned throughout my career that that's not always the case. There are a lot of great employees out there who are not as results oriented. So when I have a problem to solve, I ask as many questions as I think I need to get all the facts and data. And then I just like to take the ball and run with it. And yep. And get those results. It feels good for me. I know it feels good for others who are expecting them. And that's my story. Like, <that's> exciting.
Well,
I like to be able to point to something and say, look what I've done. I've solved problems and now you see the results of that.
See, you keep on using the S word, should. And this is the one mistake that I'm one of the things I'm hoping you're going to get out of this is we all think so completely differently, but we always think that everyone thinks like me. And the answer is nope.
Yeah.
And so the better that you can explain that like you did, the right. more you will keep yourself out of trouble. So you see the method to my madness?
Yeah. So not assuming that others are like me.
Yes. Coming out of the learning and development world, one of the big mistakes that curriculum developers and trainers do is, well, everybody learns like me. And I know when I spent a lot of time in mainland China 15 years ago, where I suddenly had all kinds of things slapped in my face because they don't learn like us.
Right.
At all.
Yeah.
And in fact, their brains are wired very differently than ours from childhood. So therefore, you can't make the assumption that everyone's like me.
Right.
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 So hopefully you're gaining some insights here.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yep.
For sure.
So I want you to pull up your stress report.
Okay.
The stress report basically is broken up into three sections. And if you're on page one, you see interpersonal relationships, it's you dealing with people. Mm-hmm. Schedules and details, and then decision-making. So there are two pages to each section. The first page will be what happens when you go into stress? What are the stress behaviors? And then what can you do to get out of stress? I'm going to let you cover that later on your own.
Okay.
So I want you to turn to page three. The odd number of pages are things that you are likely to need and things you can do to stay out of stress. So one of the things that, and those things to stay, those activities to stay out of stress, they fall into three categories. One, you're already doing them. Two, these are things that you used to do and you have stopped. Mm-hmm. Or three, out of, there are eight of them on each page, so there are a total of 24 on the three pages. There may be one or two when we're done that you might want to start to try.
Mm-hmm.
I found with people with all three, and part of this will also be to help reinforce with the fact that, oh, this is really good for me to do.
Right.
So this first page is about self-consciousness and social energy, which is you dealing one-on-one with people and you dealing in social. From a you're interesting in the fact that your social energy score is actually need is quite low, which means you don't necessarily want to be around people all that much, but right. You're also, you want people to treat you very directly. Your self-conscious score, need score is also relatively low. That's kind of an unusual combination. So there is the top of that page. It's based on these scores, it is likely that you need. Can you read those for us? And tell me whether any of those really resonate.
Okay. Based upon these scores, it is likely that you need straightforward instructions, praise that is free of sentiment, associates who speak up easily, people who get to the point, direct questions or corrections, freedom from group pressures, special time to be alone, time to be quiet and think, individualized benefits, a few close one-on-one friends.
Does anything there really resonate?
Yeah, straightforward instructions, praise that is free of sentiment, associates who speak up easily. Almost all of these resonate. I'm not quite sure what individualized benefits means.
It means you want to get stroked the way you want to get stroked. So when you went through the career reflection worksheet, what makes you feel valued?
I have to remember what I wrote.
Okay.
I have to refresh my memory. What makes me feel valued is when I feel a need and when I'm given, yeah, I just like to be needed. Personally, okay. And professionally, I like to be needed. I like to be depended on. And
does this mean when someone comes in and says, wow, thank you for having accomplished this?
Yeah, that feels great.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I want it to be, you know, significant. I don't want to be depended on for the smaller day-to-day minutia of yeah. work. Like I want to be valued for something more significant and critical than that.
In other words, you want a level of importance and you want people to recognize that.
Absolutely.
Okay.
I get really frustrated at work when people rely on me for the smaller things. Like I understand that people need help with the, what I consider are smaller tasks and projects, but I'm at the point in my current job and my current role where I'm so done with that. Like, go find someone else to help you with that, because that's not where I want to. That's not how I can contribute yeah. to the company.
So this is something I want you to think about, because one of the key, if you can get really ingrained into yourself, wow, these are the things that make me feel valued.
Yeah. That
when suddenly someone does something, you can suddenly go, wow, that made me feel good. Because yeah. I've had at times where I can now go back and look at, and for me, it's always been the thank you for my client.
Yeah.
My worst jobs was when my first job out of college was working for IBM, where I developed word processor software and I never saw anyone use it.
Mm-hmm.
I now recognize, wow, that was pretty meaningless to me.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I wasn't getting my strokes.
Right, right. Yeah, I'm becoming a lot more aware of what feels meaningless and what feels meaningful.
Right.
I'm really aspiring to something more meaningful.
Now, by the way, you just read 10 of those needs. There are going to be three pages, so there are going to be 30 needs. Mm-hmm. You're going to see a certain level of overlap.
Mm-hmm.
When we're done, I'm going to have you synthesize that down to about 10 needs.
Okay.
And then I'm going to have you write an open-ended question for each. And what are you listening for?
Okay.
By the way, this concept comes from a book by Jim Camp called Starting With No. It's a negotiation book.
Mm-hmm.
And he has a set of chapters in the art and science of questioning. And the idea is to get the other side to spill the beans. I want you to do the same thing, but based on your own needs.
Okay.
Right? So, okay, so let's go down to the bottom half of this page. Mm-hmm. There are 8 things here, things that you can do to build resistance. Why don't you read those for us?
Identify a person or group that interacts with you in an objective manner and spend more time with that person or group. Build a hit list of things you know have gone well and use it to help gauge your success. Find opportunities to assess real signs of success and identify areas that you need to improve upon. Build a relationship with a coach who, without being shy about it, can help you evaluate how well you have done in a situation. Set aside quiet time for yourself every day. You need solitude to recharge. Take active steps to protect yourself from interruptions when you are working on an important or stressful task. Allocate at least 1 week in a month just to be alone with that one person who is most important to you. The more difficult this is to do, the more important it is. Prepare yourself for big holidays or hectic social periods by spending more time being quiet and alone.
Anything in there really hit you, or things that you know you're doing?
Oh, yeah. Set aside quiet time for myself every day because I'm very aware that I need solitude to recharge. Taking active steps from interruptions when I'm working on an important or stressful task. Although I have gotten a lot better about managing those interruptions, but I still appreciate when I'm not interrupted. And preparing myself for big holidays or social periods by spending more time being quiet and alone.
By the way, that's on mine too. Mm-hmm. And that gave me permission to not go to holiday parties.
Yeah. 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 I've accepted that in myself. And once I became aware of that and accepted it both in both personally and professionally, I embraced it. And I think at first it bothered me because of how I came off, like how others perceived me. But now I'm okay with that. Like I know when it's time to, you know, find my happy place in a corner of a room away from other people. I'm good with that.
There's no question. The socially desirable is to be social. Yet a significant portion of us are introverts, and it's hard.
Yeah.
And it's just not who we are.
Right.
And if we do it, it sucks the life out of us.
Yeah. Yeah. It's an energy sucker sometimes, for sure.
That's right. So I want you now, so that was you dealing with people. Let's turn to page 5. And this is managing your needs for insistence and restlessness. And you are an interesting one. You are very low insistence, which means you don't like rules imposed on you.
Right.
And restlessness, which I'm down there with you, is you don't like to be interrupted and changed. So go read those 10 scores for us, or based on these scores, you need.
Okay, it is likely that I need freedom from close controls, a minimum of structured routine, direct access to everyone, unusual and stimulating tasks, flexible rules and policies, a minimum of abrupt changes in routine, consistently applied policies or rules, only 1 or 2 tasks at a time, protection from interruptions, predictable schedules and tasks.
So what do you think of that?
Well, I would disagree with the minimum of structured routine. I actually need structure. Okay. And I seek it out and I make it for myself.
Yes. As we talked last time, you're a structured anarchist.
Yeah.
You love structure. It just you would very, very, very much prefer it be your own.
Oh, yes.
And so you don't want someone else to impose structure routine on you.
No. What does direct access to everyone mean?
Well, what it means is if you need to contact someone, you should be able to reach out and directly talk to them. In other words, you probably wouldn't do well in an organization where you had to go through a bunch of gatekeepers.
That is very true. That is very true. I'm very inclined to go directly to the source. And when I'm told, oh, no, you have to go through these 10 people first, that really bothers me.
You got it.
Yeah. Other things that resonate on this list, unusual and stimulating tasks, flexible rules and policies. I like rules and I like policies, but I do like when there's some flexibility to them. Consistently applied policies or rules. I like consistency in general because I think that stems from my need for structure.
Well, I also think it's a need for fairness.
Mm-hmm.
Does that resonate?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, absolutely. And only one or two tasks at a time. Yeah, I would agree with that. I'm not a big believer in multitasking. It doesn't work for me.
No,
I can, but I don't like it. And I actually find ways to minimize that.
My restlessness score is right down there with you. And one of the things I find I do my best work when I'm not interrupted.
Right.
And so I've found that things like getting my phone away from me,
mm-hmm.
I've had a number of clients who have this similar type score and we've turned the automatic download and Outlook off.
Mm-hmm.
Because people who have scores really low tend to have bright, shiny object syndrome.
Yeah.
Squirrel.
Yeah. Yeah. I work with a lot of people like that.
And therefore our productivity goes way down.
Yeah.
So if you can protect yourself, that's why the next one, protection from interruptions, can be very, very stress reducing.
Mm-hmm.
And make you a lot more productive.
Right, right.
So, anything else in there?
What do we mean by freedom from close controls?
Freedom from close controls. It basically is you don't want someone telling you what to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that resonates with me. I mean, I will accept someone telling me what to do, but I prefer someone asks me.
Yes. That's one of the key pieces. You are probably one of those where it's very important that you're asked to do something and not told to do something.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yes, very much.
And even though it's a very subtle difference, to you, it's probably a big deal.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Okay.
It's a big deal. Yep.
Okay. So let's go down to the bottom half of the page. Mm-hmm. And read through those. These are things you can do to stay out of stress.
Set aside times every week to follow some new interest or satisfy a new curiosity. Indulge your sense of adventure whenever possible. Use vacations or hobbies to try new activities. Create frequent opportunities to discuss future goals, plans, and activities with your family and or coworkers. Make schedules that allow you flexibility in executing tasks and plans. Develop work schedules that allow you to spend significant periods of time on one project without interruption. Use time management skills, gatekeepers, official or otherwise, or any other means to protect yourself from distractions and disruptions when working on tedious tasks. Arrange major work schedules in such a manner that you can fit in a few interruptions without getting behind, and establish routines for the beginning or end of the day, however simple. They will provide background structure when life gets busy.
So to any of those, are you doing any of those?
Yeah, the last one resonates with me. you know, when my husband has always thought that I take a long time in the morning to get ready and long time at night to, get ready and get into bed. And that is, it's very purposeful on my part, because that's my alone thinking time. And so no matter if life is busy or not, my AM and PM routines are very important to me. They're almost meditative, and that prepares me for my days.
Yep.
Regardless of what kind of day I'm entering.
So do you maintain those patterns if you go travel?
Yes, I might abbreviate them just a bit, but for the most part, yes, I do maintain them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All I'm trying to do is make you very aware, because sometimes those get disrupted, sometimes due to major things that happen in families. And,
right.
And any time is to always remember to go back to those patterns.
Mm-hmm.
We are creatures of habits.
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Is there any else in there that you say, wow, I'd want to go ahead and do that? You know, it's all this stuff to protect you from interruptions.
Yeah. Well, I really like, I'm probably not very good about setting aside time every week to follow some new interest or satisfy new curiosity. I have tried that from time to time, and I know I can be better about that. Indulge my sense of adventure whenever possible, using vacations or hobbies to try new activities. Yeah, I think both of those are similar, and yep. I'm sure I would get greater satisfaction from finding the time to do that.
This is similar, like we talked, I think, the last time, is the fact that going off and doing creative stuff.
Yes.
That even though it you don't get it at work, you need to do it.
I do. And I'm not building enough time to do that. Like I am very task oriented, and that gets in the way. And I hate that. It's highly frustrating.
Well, I said you are very unusual in the fact that you've got this creative streak, yet you're very orderly.
Yeah.
And orderly creative is very unusual.
Yeah, they're a little at odds with each other almost.
Yeah. Okay, so let's move on to page 7. And page 7 is manage your needs for physical energy and thought. You're moderately on your physical energy, which means you're not a slug and you're not an energizer bunny. but you're moderately low thought. So go ahead and read those 10 things that you're likely to need.
What does moderately low thought mean?
Well, go read those and I'll explain.
Okay. All right. It is likely that I need a minimum of prolonged activity, stimulation of new ideas, friendly, low-key surroundings, time for reflective thought, unhurried work conditions, quick decisions from others, forceful, indefinite bosses or peers, a minimum of ambiguity in situations, thoughtful suggestions from others, opportunities to take action quickly.
Okay. So to answer your question, it has to do with decision-making, big decision-making.
Mm-hmm.
You like to make these decisions in a fairly matter-of-fact basis.
Mm-hmm.
But if there is no right answer, or there's lots of ambiguity, that's likely to cause you stress.
Yeah. I can deal with a certain amount of ambiguity for sure.
Right. Yeah. Well, the way I explained this was I worked with a couple that had come back from Asia after 20 years. And I said, you're a 32 thought. Well, she was a 1 and her husband was a 99. Polar opposites. And one day she goes, let's go down to Verizon to buy cell phones.
Yeah.
Right. And she goes, what's the big deal? And he's going, nah. Mm-hmm. Right? I got to evaluate the plans. I got to analyze. I got to do that. And she's just going, we're just going to buy cell phones. What's the big deal?
Right.
The problem is you want things to be clear cut.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You prefer it that way. You're not way off. And this is where the same things like quick decisions from others. Mm-hmm. Probably don't like waiting for decisions other to make that unique.
You know, sometimes I find other people's decision making processes painful.
Yes.
Like I can sometimes be a little black and white in certain work situations. And sometimes I question that. I think, am I, you know, prematurely jumping to a decision? Like, what seems pretty simple and straightforward to me isn't always to others.
By the way, your last exercise of getting you to understand how you solve problems. Mm-hmm. Once you understand that, you will see even more in spades when people think differently than you. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. 'Cause you've kind of introspected and looked at yourself.
Right.
So if you look at those 10 things, which of those resonate?
Stimulation of new ideas, friendly, low-key surroundings, time for reflective thought, unhurried work conditions, quick decisions from others, thoughtful suggestions from others, and opportunities to take action quickly.
Okay. Again, the thoughtful suggestions from others is being asked and not told.
Right.
Right? It's in that same vein.
Right.
Of, have you thought about this?
Right.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
It's being, fairness probably plays into this. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Right? People like yourself, your team is real important to you. So that cohesiveness of the team is real important.
Oh, yeah, very much.
Okay.
Very much.
So let's go look at the bottom half of that page. And these are things that you can do to avoid stress. Go ahead and read these for us.
Okay. Plan schedules and projects so you can stop and think about where you have been and where you are going. Give more time to abstract or philosophical thought and activities. Avoid taking on too many projects or social obligations when things are getting hectic at work. Develop a relaxing, low-key hobby or recreation and make use of the curative powers of this activity often. Build family plans and goals carefully using a thorough planning procedure so that you look at all the factors and options for important decisions. Develop contacts with aggressive but careful thinkers who can help you think things through carefully without holding you back unnecessarily. Work out rules with those close to you that allow you to move quickly on little issues but help you to be cautious on important ones. Remind family and coworkers that you need fast-paced action when decisions are required, and ask them to push options aggressively while helping you avoid black and white thinking.
So do any of those resonate? Are you doing any of those, or are there one or two in there you'd like to do?
Well, the last one, remind family and coworkers that I need fast-paced action when decisions are needed, and helping me avoid black and white thinking. That's important.
Well, I'm going to encourage you to do number four.
Yeah, develop a relaxing, low-key hobby or recreation and make use of the curative powers of this activity often. Yes, definitely.
That's probably your creative streak is figuring out how you can do that.
Right.
Actually, give yourself permission.
Yeah.
To say, you know what? I can go off and do this painting, or I can go off and do this creative stuff.
Right.
And understanding that you will be a better person and a spouse and a family member if you do. Mm-hmm. And you'll be a better coworker.
Right. Yeah, for sure. I just finished making it wasn't part of my normal job. But I was asked to make a a video about something in my personal life that related to work, and because they wanted to use it at work. And I had just a blast making the video. It was like, I was giddy with excitement. I'm like, oh my gosh, a creative outlet. Look at me. I'm doing something creative. I'm making something. I'm creating something. And someone's asking me for it. So I'm feeling a need. And it's work related. So I knew that it was going to be used. And I just, it was a wonderful experience. I want more of that.
Yeah.
I want more of that.
One of the things I want you to give yourself permission is to let you to sit, let yourself sit with that feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the combination of, wow, they're going to use this.
Right.
They asked you to do it.
Right.
It was creative.
Right.
Those combination of things.
Right.
It's usually at these times what I do with my clients is I tell them, I want you to bookmark this mentally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that when something else comes up, you can come back and sit with this because you'll feel good.
Mm-hmm.
Or when something else comes back and you'll know that, oh, I want to do more of this.
Yeah. Yeah.
And sometimes, by the way, you need to go ask.
Right.
Your management probably doesn't know you're quite as creative as you are.
No, it's highly frustrating because I keep getting a lot of operational tasks and projects.
Yes. And what happens to so many of us, we become good at this stuff and we take these things that are really important to us and we package them up in a box and we take it and put it underneath the bed and shove it away.
Right.
And therefore, people don't really know that.
Right. It's like being typecasted as an actress.
Yes. And because, yes, at work, you are an actress.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
And you have managed to fill that role, and you've gotten good at that role.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, one of the things I'm seeing over and over again is as we hit our 50s and 60s, staying in that role becomes exhausting.
Yes. Yes.
Where we had the stamina in our 30s and 40s, but suddenly to keep on that, maintaining that persona becomes very, very painful.
Yeah.
Or just very exhausting.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we don't even realize why.
Right. Right.
Okay?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I agree with you.
So the homework I'm going to give you from this report will be there are 30 needs. I'm going to say synthesize that down to about 10. I really don't care how many, but as you will see, there's lots of overlap.
Mm-hmm.
Then I'm going to have you write an open-ended question, and I'm going to send you a blog post that's associated that I wrote on the art of writing questions.
Okay.
And what are you listening for?
Okay.
So how do you, because one of the things I want you to be able to define is when they say something, ooh, that feels right. Mm-hmm. Or I need to run away as fast as I can go. In other words, what are the red flags? And pay attention to them.
Yes.
The other thing I'm going to do is, you know, all those strength phrases or those usual behavior phrases that you translated.
Mm-hmm.
Into your own words. I want you to now turn that into a narrative.
Yeah.
So when someone says, tell me about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the key piece here will be, I want you to write it the way you talk, not the way you write. Which means what happens so often, and my guess is you're one of these people, you will sit there and wordsmith it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, for sure.
So one of the things I want you to do is probably just pick up the phone and talk into your phone.
Okay.
Right? And then transcribe it.
Okay.
The other thing I'm going to have you do is go talk to three people who know you from work and three people who know you from your personal life.
Mm-hmm.
And ask them, can you give me 3 to 5 phrases that describe me?
Okay. That'll be interesting.
Well, these are all people you know and trust.
Uh-huh.
The point here is, again, we go to work and we take on a role and we behave a certain way. Mm-hmm. So our friends outside of work and our coworkers see us differently. Mm-hmm. Number one, I want you to see the words that they use. Mm-hmm. And I want you to see how much overlap there is.
Okay. That'll be interesting.
Right? So we will do one feedback session. We will not record it for the podcast. So from a podcast perspective, we are done.
Okay.
And so what have you learned from this experience so far?
Oh, gosh. I'm a lot more comfortable with what I'm seeking. I think I've been aware of a lot of what we've discussed for a while, but I've reached the point where I'm a lot more comfortable in articulating that and leveraging that for a future job search. And I've really, one of my biggest, you know, when someone starts searching for a job, the hardest part is just getting started. And for me, part of that getting started is to rebuild my LinkedIn profile. And when I sat down a few weeks ago, I was so lost. I was so overwhelmed. I thought, I don't know how to tell people about myself. I don't know what to tell me about myself. So now I feel like I have some, understanding, but I've got some interesting words and phrases that I can use to tell my story. I think I have a story to tell, and I'm looking forward to taking what I've learned and turning that into a story.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Sarah. I hope you enjoyed that episode. I hope you can hear the insights that Sarah is gaining into her work life. Please pick up a copy of Repurpose Your Career, a practical guide for the second half of life, at Amazon.com or any of the other fine online retailers. When you complete reading the book, I'd very much appreciate if you'd write an honest review on Amazon.com. The audio version of this book is available on iTunes, Audible, and Amazon. I am working on the Career Pivot Community website. I am completing the process of recruiting cohort 6. If you are interested in learning more about the endeavor and would like to be put on a waiting list, please go to careerpivot.com/community. When you sign up, you will receive more information about the community as it evolves. It is those who are in these initial cohorts get to set the direction of this endeavor. This is a paid membership community where I will be offering group coaching, special content, mastermind groups, branding sessions, and more importantly, it will be a community where you can seek help. Please go to careerpivot.com/community to sign up to learn more. Check back next week when we will hear Gene Yocum discuss pricing your services, how to get it right. Thank you for listening all the way to the end of the Repurpose Your Career podcast. You will find all the show notes at careerpivot.com/episode-98. Please hop over to careerpivot.com and subscribe to get updates on this podcast and all the other happenings at Career Pivot. You can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, Podbeam, Overcast, or Spotify. Hope to see you next Monday for another episode of the Repurpose Your Career podcast.